This is the HopeCast Network. Stories and shows you actually want to listen to. Well, oh, there's a thing I forgot. Welcome to another edition of Torture.
What's up?
Here as always with my good buddy Brad. Good buddy Brad. Brad, what's up?
Well, hello, Raj. I like the hair you're sporting tonight, Raj. It's we're doing a video, and this is actually the first ever movie torture vid. We tried it, but this one works.
Now, and we were like, now they know my secret. Now they know it's just me doing Roger this whole time.
Sorry, yeah, Roger doesn't exist. You should change your name on there to Roger.
Yeah.
We didn't want to bring Roger on our first video. We're like, nah, we don't want the fans to see Roger. We want them to see First Lady Hannah.
I just want to be clear. I did not say that, Roger.
No, Producer Gary said that. Hey, Producer Gary.
Hey, Brad.
It's good to have you here, Gary. We're missing the Hawaiian shirt tonight. Mm-hmm. We can't see it. You know, I can't really describe what Producer Gary's wearing anymore if we're on video. But, this is not really going to be shown. People are going to listen. They're not really going to see the video. So we can still say Producer Gary is dressed up in his best tuxedo tonight, like Bruce Willis in Death.
Already need a drink.
Oh, my gosh. Hannah, what movie are we watching tonight? I feel like Producer Gary's in his own little world over there. He's talking to himself or something.
He's really playing games. He's got a whole setup behind his phone, and he's just over there.
What if Gary's playing solitaire while we're recording?
I wouldn't blame him, to be honest.
I didn't watch
Okay, Hannah, what movie are we watching tonight?
We are watching talking about 1992 film, which is a comedy / fantasy. Death Becomes Her. Horrible.
Okay.
Horrible movie.
This movie, I remember seeing this movie be advertised as a kid. I
thought you were about to say you remember watching this movie in theaters.
Actually, I never went to see this movie in theaters, Hannah. I know I dropped it every episode that you're on normally. But I went to see Batman Returns the year this came out in the summertime. So I'd already been to my movie. Because back when I was a kid, it was like one movie a summer. You get to choose it. You get to shoot that bullet when you're ready to shoot that bullet. And I'm like, I'm going to see Batman Returns. And I didn't go see Death Becomes Her, but it's directed by one of my favorite directors, the director of Back to the Future, Robert Zemeckis, director of Forrest Gump, director of Romancing the Stone, director of... what else did he direct? That's good. Castaway.
What?
He directed this. Death. Why are you wowing?
He did this?
He did this. This is his movie. And I was doing some Roger research. Because, Roger typically brings the trivia. This was originally going to be a Tales from the Crypt sequel movie. Either of you ever watch Tales from the Crypt?
No.
I never saw it, but I know the creepy, like, zombie-looking thing. I remember seeing it. I've seen that.
He's the Crypt Keeper, Gary.
Whatever.
Tales from the Crypt is awesome. Y'all need to go watch the show, because basically it's a 30-minute show that always has a funny twist in it. It's horror.
This doesn't look funny.
Oh, it's good. He, like, opens it up with, like, the Crypt Keeper. I'm trying to find. Let me see if I can find.
Like, there's a blonde in the background there. So that
he's always got chicks. Like, this guy always has the chicks when he's doing. I mean, he's always talking about ladies. Here we go. Can y'all hear this? Let's see. Wait, not this. Can you hear that?
Barely.
Oh. Hold on. I'm gonna pull my move here that I do with Beth with B on. I'm gonna show you the Crypt Keeper and see if the people listening remember the Crypt Keeper. Because he does have he has an active... Here we go. Hold on. This is a commercial. That's the Crypt Keeper. He's very active in the lady game, which is kind of depressing. If you don't have a girlfriend and the Crypt Keeper has the chicks, you're kind of like, what am I doing wrong? He looks like the Crypt Keeper. But this was going to be a sequel. And instead, they made it a movie. And did they ever attract big time stars for this movie? I could not believe.
No.
Do you think they drank the potion to be in this movie? They're like, I just drank the potion.
I don't know what possibly could have possessed these people to be like, I was so embarrassed for Bruce Willis. If this had been my first Bruce Willis movie I had ever seen, I'd have been like, I'm never watching anything with him ever again.
What? Hold on, Hannah. I gotta be upset with you, First Lady.
Why?
Bruce Willis was by far the best in this movie.
The fact, though, that he's choosing to be in this movie, for me, I would have been like, you make poor choices. I don't want to see you.
But think about it. He's like, I can be in a movie directed by the director of Back to the Future? Why wouldn't you?
I don't.
He is funny in this movie. He shows his comedic talent in this movie. By far.
Yeah.
You don't think?
I don't think I'm used to seeing from him. Is he in other funny movies?
He's been in a few funny movies. What? But he's good. Moonlight. He was on the TV show Moonlighting. And he was good in that. He was funny in that. It was a comedy.
I think of him and I just think of, I think of Die Hard. Every one of these movies of his, someone's dying, something's on fire, or there's a gun. So that's what I think of. I'm not used to seeing him be funny.
hold on. Movie Torture Dad's here. He's chatting with us right now in the audience. He says you do look much better, Gary.
Yeah.
Oh, no. He's saying you look better, Roger. Yeah, I'm looking at the chat. But, okay, hello, Movie Torture Dad. We're glad you're watching. We have an audience. If anyone is listening and wants to be in the audience, let us know. We will let you be in the audience. Bruce Willis is great in this movie, Hannah. I'm frustrated that you don't like him.
I don't like him in this movie. The fact that he would have chosen to be in this... I'm not saying he's bad in this movie. I'm just saying, if this was my first ever introduction to him, and I'm like, this is what you're doing? I would say I'm out.
This was pre-losing his hair. I mean, he was thinning already. So he wasn't totally bald
that
yet.
That was his real hair?
That was his real hair.
I thought it was a wig, because I'm used to seeing him bald.
Yeah, I don't think he was totally bald back then. I think he had some hair. Okay. But, okay, let's get to this movie. Let me do my minute synopsis on this movie. Okay. The devil from The Devil Wears Prada is a dancer, and her best frenemy is Overboard, Private Benjamin. You wouldn't even get that, Hannah. I'm sure Movie Torture Dad gets that joke. And they're fighting over John McClane from Die Hard, and he ends up leaving Private Benjamin for the devil from The Devil Wears Prada. And she gets really fat. And then Private Benjamin gets really fat. And then she takes a potion, writes a book, and then Meryl Streep, the devil, takes a potion. They cannot die. But they need Bruce Willis because he's a doctor and he can repair them. So Private Benjamin and John McClane decide to murder Prada. And he pushes her down. We got to get to that murder scene because it was hilarious. She breaks her neck. So now she's got a neck break. But lo and behold, she finds out that Private Benjamin.
She had a neck twist.
Oh, it was hilarious. And Private Benjamin is taking it too. So now they got to get John McClane to take the potion. But you know what? He'd rather die than take the potion. and they end up going to his funeral 37 years later, blah, blah, blah. Then they end up breaking apart at the end. It was hilarious. Death Becomes Her, a 1992 classic made. How much did it make?
That description was so confusing. As someone who's not watched the movie, I have no idea what just happened.
I left out some parts for you, Gary. But Death Becomes Her is now a Broadway musical, which is crazy to me. It's a Broadway show. Death Becomes Her was released on July 31st, 1992. And it had a budget of $55 million. And it grossed in America $58 million. And its worldwide gross was $149 million.
That's wild to me. People in 1992 just didn't have, they were bored. I'm going to just say they were bored. They had nothing better to do if we spent $149 million to go see this.
I was saying hey to Movie Torture Dad. He says hello all. I like that he's chatting with us. Okay. So let's get to this. The first scene is like a Broadway show. You're seeing Meryl Streep, blah, 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 blah. She's like farting around on that stage, really just.
In the very first scene, there were people leaving the theater upset, and they were like, I need a drink. They were throwing the, what you call it? Like that you have at shows.
The programs.
They were throwing the programs?
Yeah, they were throwing it on the ground. Did you not hear the people mumbling? So when it actually got inside to the show, I was fully prepared for the show to be horrible. I was like, goodness gracious, what am I about to watch? But then it wasn't actually bad. So I was a little confused why people hated it in the very first scenes.
Do you know Meryl Streep has been nominated 21 times for a best actress or supporting actress. Like, do you like how I just blew over what you said? You're like, nobody really cares. I like
that. I know you like that. I literally was just like, he didn't hear a word I said. It's fine.
I did. I was listening. You were saying people still on the programs. Gary, what was she saying?
See, you have to ask him. You weren't listening. You don't get to hear my information anymore. Go on about Meryl Streep.
Goldie Hawn has been nominated twice, and once. That's 23 leading actress or supporting actress nominations for this role. And Bruce Willis has been he's never been nominated.
I think he should receive it over Meryl Streep personally.
And the other lady has not. So we have 23 Academy Award nominations in this movie. So they are packing it full. And you see, they go to Meryl Streep's dressing room, right? And Goldie Hawn is like, please don't like her. She will ruin you. I mean, she lays it out, right?
Well, no. She said, please don't like her. She has always stolen my men from me. And so, like, I needed you, my fiancé, to pass this test of not falling for her.
So it was a game. Hannah, do you put your men through games?
No. I would never take them around this girl and be like, listen, my last three exes fell for this girl. I need to see if you're going to fall for this girl. No, absolutely not. I wouldn't even be around that girl still. This makes no sense.
It makes zero sense because I secretly gotta make a movie torture confession. As a kid, I used Movie Torture Dad. He'll hear this. He probably doesn't know it. I used to have a big crush on Goldie Hawn. I thought she was so hot. I still think she's really pretty. She was so pretty and Overboard. She was beautiful. And I think she's beautiful. Can you move? I need to blow my nose. Oh gosh, I thought that was Dad. Okay, that's First Lady. That's First Lady Hannah.
Hey, hello, Brad. How are you today?
Hey.
You can talk to me now.
Yeah.
He just blew the whole plan up, Brad. Jeez.
Sorry. I thought that was movie tortured dad asking. I was like, why is he asking us to mute him?
I got confused because it said Roger.
I'm doing this for you.
I got confused because it said Roger.
Anyway, so Goldie Hawn was beautiful. And she's still beautiful in this movie. I just got to lay that out there. Meryl Streep is very beautiful also. They're all beautiful people in this movie. All of them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm complimenting. You're just, yeah, but I'm complimenting.
Yeah.
They are.
I'm trying to find it.
I'm trying to find it, Anna.
Anna, you can't.
I can't find it. Where'd you see it at, Gary?
It's your button. No, it's you under have to the hit message. It. It's under the messages.
It is?
You hit the microphone.
She did it. She did it. Okay. Okay, producer Gary. Did we still hear it?
No, I just thought it was funny. She's telling us. It was like, you have to do that.
Movie Torture Dad says, hi, Hannah. Hi, Gary.
Movie Torture.
Can you see the chat, producer Gary?
Yeah, I see it pop up.
Why don't you respond? Anyway, so back to this movie. So we're in the middle of Death Becomes Her. And is Roger back? Roger, are you back? Yeah. Okay, Roger's back.
We're good.
Your little buddy's been missing you. So,
sorry, little buddy.
So he fails the test. Anyway, so he fails the test, marries her 7 years later. They live in this mansion, which I can't. Is this Bruce Willis money or is this Meryl Streep money? It's got to be Bruce Willis money, right?
It was his. Yeah, I guess it was his money because he was a very famous plastic surgeon or surgeon.
Okay, so if that's the case and you're Goldie Hawn, you're dating this rich doctor who has all this money.
Yeah.
Why are you even tempting him with her? Like, I'm living in that mansion with the gate. I'm not even taking him to meet Meryl Streep.
Because they used to be friends, so she knew they were going to meet at some point in life. She probably wanted to know before they got married if he was going to pass the test or not.
I'm locking her down. I'm locking him down. He's mine. Before he even meets Meryl Streep, we have a kid. That's the move.
That makes it even more heartbreaking when he cheats later.
But what if he doesn't? In a bizarre world, what if he's like, Goldie Hawn, I want to stay with you. I don't want Meryl Streep.
Well, she wants that assurance before they get married.
It's a dumb game. It's a dumb game.
I wouldn't do it. I'm not justifying it. I'm just, that's what's going through her mind, probably.
Okay. While we're talking about this, we need to address the elephant in the room.
Okay.
Raj, tell us about your dating life at this point. Because the last time you were on, we talked about the Upward and the Chick-fil-A owner. I'm already marrying you off. So where are we at now? Because everyone wants to know where we're at.
I didn't see that elephant in my room. Just want to point that out. So I'm not on the Upward anymore. The Upward went downward, so we cut that out. Yeah, there's nothing really else. There were two dudes I was talking to. I told you about both of them, and they both...
One of them has long hair, right? Curly hair?
Like, longer. He has a lot
that of we're hair. Friends with. We're mutual friends.
No, not that one.
No, I was like, nah.
We didn't have a conversation, so that doesn't count.
Okay, speaking of that. Okay, I'm in the middle of this crossfire, because I'm getting told by two people, or by one person, at my job...
Yes.
That movie torture Hannah
first
liked that person. You swiped right. And I was insisting, no, she did not swipe right.
I swiped right.
Oh, I thought you didn't. I was fighting your battle for you.
You texted me and asked me.
Did I?
And I'm pretty sure we talked. Yes. And I told you in person too.
Okay. Anyway,
we matched.
Hannah, I'm like 45 years old almost. I can't remember everything. So I was like, okay, so there's no way she likes that guy. And then he said, I helped him draft a response. So he
there
then
wasn't
drafted
a response to be drafted because I never said anything, first of all. Second of all, if that's what they came up with in their brainstorm, they need to up their brainstorm game. Because all he said was, fancy seeing you here. And also, there's like this kind of unwritten rule on dating apps. Like, if you see someone you know, you swipe right. Whether you would actually date that person or not, you swipe
right. I disagree with that. I don't want to swipe right on somebody I know.
25 and married. You're not going to tell me what is or is not on dating apps.
Producer Gary, if you didn't have your... Yeah, okay, okay.
What's a good... For someone you know, what's a good, like, first line? Because you can do plenty of stuff. You can do plenty of stuff with people you don't know. But what's a good, like, for someone you do know? Because you can't... Because if you know them, you can't do the classic, like...
First of all, if I know you, I'm swiping right because I know you, not because I'm actually interested. Because if I was actually interested, I would have already made a move, not in a dating app. Okay.
Right. That makes sense.
If it's someone that I know,
anyway.
I've got a lot to unpack.
Not everyone is like that. Not everyone's going to swipe right, and that's fine. But some people will even put in their profile, they're like, just so you know, if I know you, I'm swiping right. I've had that happen before with my brother's friends. I'll see my brother's friends on there. In no world ever in the universe would I date that person. But I'm still going to swipe right, and we're going to joke about it.
I'm so confused at this, Hannah. I have so much I want to ask.
Okay.
I like Movie Torture Death says we're all making him feel like he's 100. He just celebrated his 102nd birthday. Okay, Hannah. Let's imagine I'm 42, because your last guy was 40 something. If I know you and I'm not married, I'm not swiping right on you because
that's your choice.
But I just feel like that makes it complicated. Now you assume that I have the eyes for you. If I swipe right, I only want to swipe right on people that I might be attracted to.
And
you know
some
what I'm
people are that way, and that's okay. Some people are not that way, and that's okay too.
My dad says, what's the name of this pod? We've gone down to the dating world. Okay, but I also think, like, if you swiped right on me, I'd be like, oh, Hannah must like me. So then I'm feeling like I have the permission to then go, hey, Hannah, let's go grab coffee and see if we can make this work.
Question has never, ever made any kind of effort, even when he was there with me in person. Okay? So, and he still has me on social media. He still has my number. If he wanted to ask, he would. He didn't need a dating app to do that.
I'm speaking for me. Like, if I was in the dating world and you swiped right on me, I would assume you wanted to go get coffee. Wouldn't you, Gary?
Yeah, I would.
Maybe told your dad would think that too.
Okay, I would just have to clarify, like, no, actually, I didn't swipe right because I want to go on a date. I just...
But then I'm going to cry. So then you're going to make me cry.
That's a problem. You need to develop emotional stability.
Then I'm like, you're Meryl Streep, and I'm just handing you over to... No, you're Bruce Willis, and I'm handing you over to Meryl Streep. Boom. Okay, let's get back to this movie. Because Movie Torture Dad's letting us know this is called Movie Torture, not Dating Torture. Although that would be a funny podcast.
That'd be a fun one.
Dating Torture. Hannah, we need you to join. We need you to start the podcast called Dating Torture. Anyway, so we find out Bruce Willis is married. Goldie Hawn now is easily 300 pounds in this next scene.
Yes. And why is that?
She ate her feelings away, right?
Yes. She was so depressed. I'm explaining this for you, Gary, because you haven't seen it. She got so depressed that her husband got stolen away from her that she ate herself into depression.
Which I think can happen. I might have Kristen left me for Producer Gary. I'd probably eat my feelings away on a ho-ho.
I've eaten feelings many times, just not to that point.
With your you, as your self-proclaimed mistress, Little Debbie.
Debbie. Hannah, read Movie Torture Dad. I don't think the listeners heard the question.
The question is she, quotation marks, plump?
She is a porker. She's portly. She's stout. She's thick. Yeah, he said stout. He's on it. He's a loyal listener. She is very heavy. You can tell she's in a fat suit.
Always telling these movies.
Yeah, she looks like Gwyneth Paltrow in Shallow Hal when they show the fatness. I mean, she's definitely got the roles. So she then writes a book and becomes famous, right? Isn't that right?
I missed that part. I didn't hear see the whole book part.
I kind of missed it too, because I was like, where did this happen? But
how did you?
But Hannah says, okay, you say thick is okay.
Yes, thick with three. So this is how it's spelled. It's T-H-I-C-C-C. There's no K in there. And you just add, you add more C's, the thicker they are.
Oh my gosh. So if you're 400 pounds, how many C's do you need?
Like four or five.
So if you're on my 600 pound life.
Six or seven.
Okay, speaking of that, I got to bring this up, because Movie Torture Dad's listening. I'm sure he's laughing. I wish we could hear him laughing at this point.
I wish I could see him.
I want to talk about a show that Movie Torture Dad and I found. We were watching this in Texas. I've seen it before, but we watched it together. My 600-pound life. Okay.
Horses in Texas.
Yeah. And there was this lady.
Texas.
Who was 700 pounds at this point. She broke the title of the show. And she says, I have to go to the bathroom. So she gets up, Hannah. She was 725. He clarified it. She goes to the bathroom. She sits on the toilet.
She break it?
No. I looked and see what the weight was to break a toilet, by the way.
What is
and
it?
It's over 1,000 pounds. You can't break a toilet. It's hard. Anyway, so she then gets up, calls her boyfriend, who is the size of producer Gary, maybe even smaller. Movie Torture Dad, am I wrong? He's about producer Gary's size, which is small. Gary's not fat at all. She then calls him in there. He says, right. And she bends over the bed.
Hey there. This is Movie Torture's very own producer Gary here to talk to you about Generous Coffee, where every sip is an adventure of flavor. When you choose our meticulously sourced beans, you're not just getting a cup of coffee, you're embarking on a taste journey. Here's why our coffee stands out. It's very rich and robust. Our beans are roasted to perfection, unlocking deep, chocolatey notes that dance on your taste buds. Imagine a velvety blend that whispers of caramel and toasted hazelnuts. Bright and vibrant. With each sip, you'll experience a burst of citrus zest like a sun-kissed morning in a cup. The acidity is balanced, leaving refreshing afterglow. Silky smooth. Generous Coffee glides across your palate, leaving a trail of velvet warmth. It's like wrapping yourself in a cozy blanket with the fireplace, and remember, every purchase fuels positive change worldwide. So go ahead, savor that cup. It's not just coffee. It's a flavorful revolution.
And he puts surgical gloves on.
Ew.
And that's wipes.
That's nasty.
Yeah. That's what this show was. And then she goes and orders like a ton of food. I mean, so much food, us four could not eat it all. We would be sick. And then she wants a snack afterwards. So anyway, it was a funny show. And then we find out. Here's what we found out. Like, he kind of Bruce Willis'd her. He left her for another person.
Can't imagine why. Maybe somebody didn't have to wipe.
She took a whole pizza on the plane. He added that in there.
I mean, I would take a whole pizza on the plane. but I could also fit on the plane. Yeah.
Oh, she sat in two seats, which was shocking to me, because I thought 700 pounds, she's going to need a whole row.
Yeah.
But she didn't. And I would be embarrassed to be bringing Kristen on a plane if she was that big. I'd be, like, stressed out.
One coat would be the whole carry-on.
Do they? Okay, if she flew Spirit, they'd probably charge her.
Go down.
Yeah, they. You know, because they gotta sit.
It's going up to Jesus.
They gotta sit you in certain spots for the weight, right? Like, what does the pilot do for her? Because she's 700 pounds. Like, do they have to empty out that side of the plane
if
a little
you
bit?
Think about it, though.
She was.
It's probably pretty normal for like 300-ish pound people to be on a plane. So.
But that's 400 extra pounds, Hannah.
If she takes up two seats, though, that like kind of equals out. Or if she takes up a whole row, that really equals out.
I guess. I mean, there's been times where the plane's been empty and I've been like, hey, can I slide over the other side? And they're like, no, you can't. We got to be over here for the weight. I'm like, I literally weigh 170 pounds. Like, what am I offsetting over here? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not like I'm 800 pounds. Movie Torture Dad's not rolling me in on in a wheelchair and hoping I make it on the flight. It was crazy. It was a crazy show. But anyway, we've talked.
Skeleton's got to look wet. Her skeleton's got to be wild.
She's lost a lot of weight. I think she's down to like 200, maybe 180.
Oh, good.
She's lost a lot of weight. She's really working hard. I mean, I saw some photos. I mean, she's still thick with CCC, like Movie Torture Dad writes. But anyway, back to this movie. So she comes back into Bruce Willis's life. And what are you going to say?
Who? We got to explain this a little better.
Yeah. Goldie Hawn comes back into Bruce Willis's life. And
how? This is very important, actually. So
how does she? Bring it up.
Gary, you need to know this. So when Homegirl was all depressed, eating her snacks, she was watching a TV show. And in the show, there's a lady who ends up getting strangled to death. And she keeps rewinding the part over and over again. Because in her mind, she's picturing doing that to home lady who took her husband to be. In the background, you hear her landlord pounding on the door. He's like, let me in. Have your final eviction notice. And she doesn't answer the door. So like they bust the door down. Cops come in and take her away. And as she's being drug out the door, she's still rewinding that tape, watching that scene over and over again. So they take her to, I don't know, was she in jail or a psych ward or whatever?
Yeah, she was in a psych ward. She kept talking about her. It was funny.
So they took her to a psych ward and they're like, dude, it's been 6 months. You're not 1 pound lighter. You still can't stop talking about Madeline. What's going on here? And the therapist was like, you need to completely eliminate everything in your mind to do with her. But all the girl caught on to was, you need to eliminate. So in her mind, she was like, oh, you're right. I need to eliminate her. So she went on, she went on a diet. She got all slimmed down. She started mm-hmm. young again. And all this time, she's planning how she's going to murder the girl who stole her husband.
She's like plotting this out Dateline style at this point, right?
Brad, what's that in front of your, is that a mic?
Yeah, it's my mic.
Ah, that's cool.
I use it, yeah. I like when she says she's married a brilliant surgeon and turned him into an undertaker, which is so funny. I like when she shows up at the door and she's like, Madeline. And then he goes, she's not here. Okay, good.
She shows up to the door crying. She's like, I need to see Madeline. Oh thank goodness
Like she had one goal, but she's datelining this. So she meets, is it Lewis, is that, no, it's Ernest.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's Ernest. So she meets Ernest back again and they're like, we gotta kill Madeline. So they devise this whole plan about getting her drunk and driving her off the cliff. The toxicology won't find it. I mean, she is, and we're talking 1992 times. I think now there would be like cameras. People would be like watching them, and they should update this movie, by the way, and make it modern. I think it'd be hilarious.
They could make it a lot more creepy with all the neck breaking and, you know.
But anyway, so we think this is where the movie's going. This is, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're going to strap her in her Mercedes and push her off the cliff. The literal next scene, she is berating Ernest, like Madeline is. She's basically calling him a loser. And she's about to fall down the stairs. And he just taps her.
Flailing for like 2 minutes. Like, help me. Oh my God.
Help me. Oh, it was hilarious. And her fall, it had to be stairs from like 18 stories up, right?
Literally. Yeah.
Because it just kept going. But when he came down, it was really quick. That's what made it funny. She's like, boom, 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 boom. Gary, it was the best stair scene you'll ever see of a fall in a movie. It was
falling.
It was great. It was like, yeah, it was 5 minutes of just, doom, 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 and she's breaking everything. He comes down there. She is like contorted and broken.
Her arms like over here. Her head is really twisted backwards.
So Goldie Hawn has obviously watched Keith Morrison on Dateline, because Ernest calls her and he's like, she's dead. And she's like, did you not listen to anything I said last night when we were planning this murder out? Like, you just didn't.
How am I supposed to go?
This is not the way it's supposed to go. And then he says, she goes, well, now they're going to see you called me first and didn't call 911. And to me, it's one of the best scenes of the whole movie, Hannah. You might disagree with me, but in the background, you see her coming up like this, Gary. And she's walking over.
Reassembling her body.
Reassembling it. But Gary, she's walking over to him. Her head is the opposite way. So she's coming over. Her butt is on the front side. And it's so funny. So she's walking over to him trying to talk with her hands, but they're backwards.
That way.
Yeah. He's like, what are you doing? And she's like, well, I need to make a phone call. You tried to murder me. But she's already taken the potion. We kind of left that out. She did go take the potion.
Meryl Streep, throughout this whole movie, is obsessed with staying young. She's obsessed with her looks, which was partly, I think, why she fell in love with Homeboy to begin with, because she wanted him to work on her to help her stay youthful.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she went to a doctor at some point in this movie, and there was a time limit, so she couldn't get as much surgery stuff done as she wanted. Got upset about it, and so the dude was like, look, there's this lady. She's super secret. Like, not very many people know. It's a very closed society, but here's her card. Go see her. So that night, with all this, you know, dramatic stuff happened, she went to go see that lady, and that lady had a potion. And if you drank it, it would keep you young, but you needed to take care of your body. We'll find out later why. So that's, but, so part of the being young is you can't die. So that's why she didn't die, even though her body was all messed up.
Producer Gary and Hannah, would y'all take?
I don't think so.
I don't think I'd want to take it. Movie Torture Dad, would you take the potion?
Because you see, like, the lady tells them you have to take care of yourself. And I didn't understand why she said that, pointed that out specifically. But if you didn't take care of it, it would, like, your skin would just kind of peel off. And, like, it wasn't good. You were kind of fragile.
But I don't think it would if you kept good care of yourself, right?
Yes, but they didn't. And
But no, they died. I think the problem is if you die, you start rotting away. I think if you and I took the potion and never died, we would just be the same all the time. But because they're corpses, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they were getting at.
That makes sense.
Because if you look at the other people when they do the party at the end and they're in there with all those people that's taken the potion, like Elvis, and they all look young.
Yeah.
So I do think that was hilarious, by the way. Movie Torture Dad says, I don't think I would take the potion. Yeah, because I wouldn't want to see you guys die. Like, I'd be like, y'all would be like, man, Brad still looks good for 45.
Like Agent Adeline. I mean, she had to let go of her lovers because she couldn't be with them. That's too sad.
Yeah.
Too much sadness.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that takes this movie in a whole different direction. Why does the lady with the potion, why is she always naked, by the way?
I was about to say, you choosing some questionable movies, Bradley.
It was PG-13. But she was she was like naked, like, but they covered up. They didn't show like anything really.
They didn't watch the imagination either, but
well, they didn't.
No, they didn't show anything.
Yeah, but she's like weird she's like a gypsy, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Who has the potion. So anyway, producer Gary, she takes the potion, she's contorted, She's like, I'm calling the police, blah, 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 blah. But she ends up not doing that because he helps her. He, like, fixes her neck.
He fixes her neck. You got a little something.
Yeah. Like, but she does it. She fixes her own.
And fixes it.
Look. Yeah.
Like, all but, right away, she's got a bone sticking out.
Second favorite scene. Maybe third. The hospital scene.
Yes.
That was funny.
Say the hospital scene.
So they go to the hospital, Gary, and he's like, the doctor comes in and he's like, he's like feeling her. She's got like a temperature of 80, right, Hannah? He goes, you've got a temperature. Yeah. You need to watch this movie, Georgia Dad. It's funny.
And
please watch.
Heart beating. And then pulled her wrist back. He's like, does that hurt? No. And it goes back farther. Does that hurt?
He's doing that.
Arm, like so far back. And she's like, no. So he like grabs whiskey from the other dude who was standing there. He's like, go, 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 go. He's like, I don't know. I don't know what this is. He's like, you're, as far as I can tell, your wrist is fractured in three places. You don't have a heartbeat. And your body temperature is 80 degrees.
And he saw her neck too, right? And he gets
she had a bone sticking out of her neck.
Yeah. He's like, that's not. So the next scene, he walks out. The next scene. He's like dying of a heart attack, right? Like they got the doctor on the table, and they're like going clear. And, yeah,
oh,
that was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was just a random patient. That's funny.
No, that was the doctor. They were taking care of the doctor. That was one of my favorite scenes. So then she ends up in the morgue. So Ernest has to go to the morgue.
She faked, and so because her heart wasn't beating and she was cold, the nurses said she was dead.
Yeah, I don't think any hospital is that quick on getting you to the morgue. By the way. And he comes in there, and the nurse is like, I'm so sorry for your loss. And he's like, what?
Yes. She's like, don't worry about that right now. Just take some time to mourn.
And then she's like down there locked up in the morgue, and she's like, I was scared, which is funny. So then, Gary, Goldie Hawn shows back up, right? Or again, like she sees that he's like helping her.
Well,
so
she is going back to their house thinking that he and her are going to take care of the body. But when gets there, the husband's like, no, she's upstairs resting. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm sure. She's like, no, she's not in a good mood. She's like, right.
Oh, yeah, because she thinks she's dead, right?
Yeah.
And this is my second favorite scene of the whole movie. Movie Torture Dad, when you watch this, you're going to like this scene. So Goldie Hawn shows up. Well, Meryl Streep pulls a shotgun out at this point. He's like, whoa. And she shoots Goldie Hawn in the belly. Goldie Hawn falls into the pond, into like the pool they got at their mansion. And she's like, oh, I hated her. I'm so glad she's dead. She's like, she's excited, right? She's excited that Goldie Hawn is dead. And then just like the scene when he's on the phone, we get that again. But this special effects are incredible for 1992. They look legit better than some of the crap we've talked about on this movie that's been made recently.
Yes.
She gets up, Gary, and she has a hole in her belly you can see completely through.
Not yay big. Just.
And Meryl Streep goes, I wouldn't put a bathing suit on. Oh, God.
At least not two piece.
Yeah, she's like, I wouldn't wear a two-piece. It was hilarious. She still hated her. Like, they're still going at it. I don't know why Goldie Hawn's eyes are weird at this point. It's like her whole eye color changed into, like, zombie eyes.
Because she died.
Yeah, so she gets up, right? And when she sits on the couch, it is such a great move. Like, she sits down, and there's something that's, like, on the couch that goes in between her hole and just sticks out. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Because Meryl Streep had thrown something at her, but it went right through the hole. And she was like, yes, wait, yes, no. And then when she sat down on the couch, she sat down right where it had landed. And it just.
Yeah, and it went right through. It was great special effects. Whoever did this stuff was. I think this movie won an Academy Award for visual effects. And it should have, because the visual effects in this movie are amazing to me. So now it's time for the ladies to turn on Ernest. And this is probably my fourth favorite scene of the whole movie. So they're like concocting. They're just like, we need Ernest to keep us young.
So, Gary, pit is like they do look dead, and as the husband was married to Meryl Streep and became more depressed, he wasn't a surgeon anymore, and he was a mortician. And there's a scene where he's explaining to a lady how he gets the color so right on the corpses. She's like, "What's your secret?" He's like, "Spray paint. I get the color right every time." So in several scenes, he's like spray painting both of the ladies to help them look alive.
And they keep chipping.
Like, we need him to keep doing this for us.
Yeah. Although they could do it for themselves, I guess, right?
That's
so they're like, we've got to get him to drink the potion. Yep. But they know Ernest is never going to drink the potion, Gary. So they're like, we'll spike his drink and knock him out. So they give him, this is my fourth favorite scene. They come in there, "Oh, Ernest, would you like something to drink?" And he's carrying it, and he's like spilling it. Like he keeps just like
he's on preaching. His way out the door. He's leaving both of them.
Yeah, he's leaving. He's done with them. And then he finally is like, "You know what? You think he's about to take the last swig? I don't even want this anymore." He pours it out.
Pours it into a plate.
So then they just do the classic beat him over the head with a vase. There's a lot of vases in movies where people need to get. I feel like if somebody hit me over the head with a vase like that.
It's usually a pretty big vase, right?
Oh, this was a huge one. So he wakes up by the naked lady again. I mean, this time she's like, "You'll need to take the potion. You'll need to take the potion." And he's like, I don't know. Now you got to remember, he's like a loser. But he says the best thing. He's like, "I don't want to take it. I don't want to live forever. I don't want to see people die."
Yeah.
Which is the smartest thing.
Outlive everyone, yeah.
But did you catch what he said? "I'll have to live with Helen and Madeline."
Well, he was like, "Who would I hang out with? Helen and Madeline?" No.
Yeah, like, "Helen and Madeline, I'd rather just die now." So he goes on this run, and he's getting away. And that's when we go to the party. And there's all these famous people like Andy Warhol, Elvis Presley, they're all in there. I guess they drank the potion and they hang out.
They drank the potion. They're not allowed to go out in public anymore. So after 10 years of being on this potion, you have to commit to living like out of the public eye. You can't be around people. Maybe fake your own death.
So
it's a lot of work.
Hang on. Are you saying that in this universe, Elvis's choice was to die on the toilet.
So he faked death.
That was his way, which is funny.
Yeah.
Movie Torture Dad says, "I knew Elvis was still alive." He's definitely alive in this movie.
Yeah.
So he busts through, and lo and behold, he goes up on the roof because they're chasing him, and now he's hanging over, and he pulls the potion out. He's hanging over like a fall of like 20 stories, what it looks like, right? And the ladies are like, "Ernest, drink it. We need you."
They didn't like that. They were concerned. No. They were like, "Drink the potion. That's the only way you're going to live."
Yeah, and they said, "We'll fix you up. You'll fix yourself up when your bones are broken.
It's fine."
Yeah. And he's like, "I would rather die." So he throws the potion down and falls all the way down into the water. Gets up.
He smashed into a pool, which you couldn't see. So I was like, he's had two chances.
No way he lives, right?
I was like, if he wants to die that bad, let the man die.
Yeah. But here's the funny thing about this movie. So then it goes 37 years later. And now we're at Ernest's funeral. And he spent the rest of his life adopting Africans and
doing great
things. He had like all these different people in his funeral. And Madeline and Helen are in the back with their veils on laughing. They're like, "Ha ha ha." I mean, they're literally laughing at it. Yeah. And they're like, "Oh, you need the spray paint. Do you have the spray paint?" And Movie Torture Dad says, "Gary's going to sleep." They're like, "Oh," so they get up and leave the funeral, right, Hannah? And they get out there, and lo and behold, they trip over the can of spray paint. And their body's broken into a bunch of pieces.
It breaks like glass would break. Like their head fully breaks off from their body. Their arms are completely off, but they're still alive. So like their heads roll together.
It was hilarious.
Do you remember where you parked the car?
And they look like like zombies, right? I mean, they look terrible.
Which is why they had the veil on at the funeral.
Yeah, they didn't want people to see them. Yeah. To me, I think that'd be a horrible life if you had to look like that. Like, I don't know. It was. Do you have any reviews on this movie? Because I have some.
Yeah, you go ahead.
This is from Alex's husband. Alex goes, I mean, this was literally April 5th, 2024. I mean, this guy literally wrote this a few weeks ago. Good movie. Joel Garcia Vale wrote March 22nd, 2024. This is one movie that still holds up. Meryl and Goldie are amazing, and the extra features are great in Blu-ray. Well, wow. Funny movie if you like dark.
Just not truthful ones. Someone asked why is Death Becomes Her so good? The answer is a huge factor in what makes Death Becomes Her work so well is the slew of brilliant performances that elevate it beyond the usual dramedy stuff of the era. Someone else said, Death Becomes Her is a magical and delightful illustration of queerness without sexuality.
Queerness? What?
It stars easily able to keep pace with its big dramatic beats. And the director directs with confidence essential to comedy. Doesn't pull any punches. Hollywood deserved it, and so do you. I don't deserve this. I repeat that. This is horrible.
Okay, Hannah. Let's go ahead and say it. Movie torture, movie gold.
Torture.
Are you serious?
Are you serious? It's not a torture game?
Oh my. Hannah.
I did not watch this again. By torture.
Okay, you got to view this through the lens of like a soap opera. This movie is great. This is movie gold. Gary, I don't dish movie golds very often on here.
You've been dishing them a lot. I feel like you got a little lenient.
You have said that quite a few times in the past couple months.
I have. First off, Champions was really good. It was a great movie. I could not say it was terrible. This one is so campy and bonkers, it makes it good. Like, they committed to this. You could tell they loved being in this movie. And it's sad that we've never seen another Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn movie together. Because they were great. Bruce Willis, excellent, funny man in this movie. He kept this movie watchable. But the special effects alone are incredible. If you watch this movie just for the special effects, you will be pleased to no end. This movie, Hannah, is great. I would watch this movie again. I will demand Movie Torture Dad watch this movie on Tubi. It's free. You can watch this movie for free. It is that good.
You can never get that time back, though.
It's an hour and 40 minutes, Hannah. It's not like Batman and Robin.
You can't get back.
Hannah, it's an hour and 40 minutes. And there's a couple slow moments, but...
It could have been an hour and 35.
He doesn't have the time. Movie Torture Dad, I want you to watch this movie and report back to us what you think. If Hannah's right or I'm right, you got to watch it through the lens of this
right
is just...
For me. For me, I would not watch it.
It's a great movie about two women that hate each other. And then they hate each other so much, they're stuck with each other. It's funny. Like, they can't get each other off their mind. You can't take it serious. That's what makes this movie funny to me. It's just out there. They should remake this movie into a modern film. Now, Hannah, where would producer Gary fit in this movie?
He'd be like a creepy butler.
Oh, gosh. I like that. He's like the one...
He could be a butler for the lady who does the potion. And he is also taking the potion.
Ooh.
I mean, she has one, so it could just be him instead of the dude she has.
Yes, he's like there with his shirt off.
Yeah.
But he's got the dad bod?
No, he didn't have a dad bod.
In this version, he does.
Oh.
Yeah. He's like, pizza, madam? And she's like, no, no pizza. I don't want the pizza. I have the potion. I need you to take the potion. Anyway, What a great movie. I think I'm going to go watch it again now, Hannah. I think you just inspired me. I'm gonna watch it every day for the rest of my life. I'm going to learn every line.
Love that from it, you.
Thank you. Hey, for First Lady Movie Torture Hannah, for producer Gary, and for my friend Roger, who seems to never want to show up when Hannah's in the room, my name is Brad. We'll see you next time on Movie.
Wait, did he... My nose is so wrong. I wish I had...